Can you all hear me? Thank you. Well, I start of this new year 2022. I'm most thankful to the Lord for this opportunity and this continuous series of talks that we can have with all of you. I do not say this gratuitously and lightly. I genuinely and deeply feel that way. I consider these talks to be vitally important. And so far, I feel as the Lord has led us in the subject matter and in the burden that I also sense the Lord's present anointing and leading. And that is a very, very important thing. I don't want to waste time here. I don't think you want to waste time here. The Lord's time, our time. Whatever we do, we want to do something really according to God. Which means something that is of his mind and something that is in his heart for this present hour, this present moment. So today, excuse me, we will continue, excuse me, our fellowship, picking up from where we left off in the last year, towards the end of last year. As you can recall, our burden is on the vitalization, the genuine and real vitalization of the saints and of the churches here in Northern California. And vitalization is not something that one can act out or one can just perform. And one can just, you know, do certain things and say, I'm vital. No, it doesn't work that way. Either you are vital or you are not vital. Either you are living or you are not living. You can fake it. You can act it. But it can only go so long and it will be exposed. You are just following something. You are really just on the surface going along. You are, you know, in agreement with this matter. But actually, you are still not touching the real thing. You still are not vitalized. What we need today, brothers and sisters, is reality, is actuality, is practicality. Not just what we know, not just even what we hear, brothers and sisters, not even just what we're impressed with. That is not good enough. We must own this. We must possess this. We must not just talk about the beautiful and wonderful and rich and how all-inclusive the good land is. It says when Jehovah encouraged Joshua to go over Jordan to the other side to possess the promised land, he said, be of good courage, right? Fear not, I am with you. But he also said, wherever your foot, the soles of your feet will tread upon, that you will possess, that will be given to you. So, brothers and sisters, here there are two sides, as is in many spiritual matters. There are two sides. One side is simply God's promise, God's covenant, God's intention to do something. However, there is the other side that is just as important. And today in the New Testament, even more so. This is according to what we name the what? The principle of incarnation. That means God becoming man, that's incarnation, divinity mingle with humanity, neither operate, can operate or will operate alone by itself. They must operate together. God cannot move without man. Man cannot move without God. It is a mysterious thing, but it is something very, very real. And we have to get a hold of this principle. We have to grasp it in everything that we do in our Christian life and in our church service. God will do something because he said it, and he promised he will do something. But we have to exercise our faith. To what? To take action, to cooperate, to do something, what, in oneness with God, so that whatever God promised may really take place, will really materialize, and not just remain as just promises. So for us to take the good land, to take Christ as our all-inclusive land, including this matter of prayer that we're going to talk about this morning, we have to what? We have to cross the Jordan. We have to start what? Stepping on the soil of that good land. And we have to start traversing. We have to start walking. We have to start covering that good land with the soles of our feet. We have to do something. Otherwise, that land, though promised, is still not ours. It's still not practically own and possess and enjoy by us. And brothers, we have to get through in this matter. We have to get through in this matter. And especially as we get into the matter of prayer, you can be impressed by prayer. You can be touched by prayer. You can be moved to pray. But if you don't pray in the way, in this kind of a desperate unceasing way, or in brotherly's words, in this much and thorough way, I tell you, the prayer as a part of the good land is still not yours. It is not. You have been self-deceived to think it is, because you know about it, you read the outline, you say amen to it, but it is not yours. You have not yet built up a prayer life. Brothers and sisters, I'm being very, very pointed. I'm being very, very blunt. There has to come a time that there would be a small number of saints, I hope more, that would really be the overcomers of the day. Overcomers in our translation, in our present translation, as it applies to these talks and the present burden, is simply the vital Christians, the vital brothers, the vital sisters. And let me tell you, today in the local churches, that is the unique need. We need more brothers and sisters who are vital, who are vitalized, who are truly living and active. Not just impressed, not just having the knowledge, but they are living people. They are vitalized people. They are energized people. They are people who have been intensified by the sevenfold intensified Spirit of God. They are living. They're active. They're not like you have to push them and they move a few steps and they stop and you have to go and move them again. No. They move, they act. In fact, you cannot stop them because something is energizing them. Something is very active within them, and that is the Spirit. The Spirit is living. The Spirit is with these people. The Spirit is what? Is filling these people. The Spirit is poured upon these people. They are one with the Spirit. They have the Spirit, so they cannot but move. They cannot but speak. They cannot but go visit people. They cannot but serve. You cannot stop them because they are genuinely vital. You know, yesterday I was praying for today. I told some of the brothers before this meeting, I ran out of prayer. I don't even know how to pray anymore. for you. I'm not saying I'm that great, I'm somebody, but I do pray. But I almost ran out of prayer. I said, Lord, what does another talk do if the saints don't get vitalized? What is another conference? What is another message if we don't get vitalized ourselves? So I don't even know what to pray. And as we will see, the real prayer, the genuine prayer, brother used the example of that blind man who have no composition, who have no formal practice of how to pray. The Lord just said, what do you want? What do you want? And he said, Lord, I want to see. Now that turns out to be the best prayer. What is the best prayer? That prayer was answered. That's the best prayer. Brothers, we have been praying so many prayers that comes unanswered because they are not real prayers. They're not true prayers. They're not prayers that touch the Lord's heart that will cause him to respond with an answer. It's just formal. We all even haven't been in the church for a while. We all know how to pray. We all know the right words. We know how to take the blood. We know how to say this and how to say that. But the heart is not there. The intensity is not there. The desperation is not there. And that's what makes it different. That's what contrasts. That's what makes the difference between real prayer and prayer that is not so genuine. Being a difference between effective prayers and empty prayers. Now, brothers and sisters, it seems this is, oh my goodness, this is hard. This is difficult. On the one hand, you may say so. But on the other hand, I like to tell you this morning, this is not a matter of hard or difficult. It can happen. It should happen, and it should be experienced by each one of us on a daily way, in a common way, in a regular way. You know, the definition of an overcomer is not a super Christian. This is not Superman. No, a overcomer, by definition, is a normal Christian, according to God's normal standard of a believer. And why is he this person called an overcomer? Because the vast majority of the believers have fallen below that standard. They have degraded, they have deteriorated. They have become weakened and defeated. They cannot be on that standard. So for any believer who would rise up to fight, to overcome, to come back, as it were, to God's original standard, is an overcomer. They're not Superman. They're just normal God-man. And brothers and sisters, these days, this is what the Lord needs in the local churches. Overcomers, not Superman, I say, but normal, living, vital saints, as God would have it. My dear brothers and sisters, shouldn't we just rise to the challenge? Shouldn't we just say amen to the Lord? Shouldn't we not just not play around? Oh, I tell you, my heart is just, I don't know what to say. You know, when I'm in despair, when I'm just thinking like this, including yesterday, the word came to me. With Elijah. Elijah was in flight, you know, just fleeing for his life because he got this thing on his head. He was just a fugitive, if you will. And then he comes to this place and he was just in despair, like the whole nation is gone. Everyone has gone the way of Baal. Everyone is in apostasy. The whole nation has gone to the high places, to the the gods of the foreign gods and idolatry. Where is God's people? God did not come to him in thunder, in lightning, in fire, but God to him came to him in a New Testament way, in a quiet, gentle manner, a still small voice. Amongst other things, Jehovah said to him, I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal, that have not kissed the hands of Baal. I have 7,000. Now, I don't know what percentage that is. I once heard that at the time of the kings, there were 2 to 3 million people in that land, including the Israelites. Now, if you do the math, let's say they have 2.5 million people, 7,000, that is 0.0028%. A very small number. But God has his 7,000. Now, when I think about that, at least that is a little bit of an encouragement. But brothers and sisters, this includes us in the local churches, in the Lord's recovery. By being in the church life, in the Lord's recovery, is not a guarantee that we are overcomers. No. Thank the Lord we're here. Thank the Lord for his great mercy and his loving kindness and his grace that we're here today. But by being here does not translate automatically into us being a real overcomer. It doesn't. We're just in a better environment, in a more blessed place for us to overcome. I mean, without this ministry in the recovery, we don't even know there's such a need for overcomers. You know, when Brother Lee, towards the end of his life, spoke so much about God's call for the overcomers, when I look back, I realize Brother Lee was not just doing this, he was harking way back. Let me tell you, recently I read Brother Nee, Watchman Nee, when he was still a young man, not many years after he was saved, in his mid-20s, he was begin to be exposed to some of these deeper teachings in the Word about the history of the church. He was an avid and ferocious reader, and he got almost all the best books from Western Christianity and digested and filter them, filter out what is wrong, what is in error, and kept what is good. He had that gift. And beginning at that time, he began to see the kingdom. He see the matter of reward and punishment. He see the matter of dispensationalism. That means there is a next age. He start talking about the need of God, God's intention today, in his return to establish his kingdom. He need to prepare a bride. He saw that, even though not in such a full way as we do today, he saw that at those in the 1920s, he was in his mid-20s. And that directed his ministry. That was not just like Christianity to get people to be big, to be great, but to take this narrow way, the way of the cross, the way that what leads to resurrection. The narrow gates, the constricted way that leads to eternal life. And that's how the recovery began. And he started to have these overcomers conferences to speak these messages about Christ being the centrality and the universality of God and of God's plan, etc., etc. Brother Lee never left that. And this burden, this vision has always dictated him controlled him to the very last days. I tell you, without this vision, without this ministry, we wouldn't even realize that God needs overcomers today, would you? Just go to heaven. Just be a good person. No, that is not going to satisfy the Lord. That is not going to meet his need, especially in these last days. My brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to the working saints. You're not young anymore. You're in your 30s, in your 40s. And you should be bearing the burden of the church right now, not tomorrow. Thank the Lord for the older saints among us. We're blessed to have them. But they're getting older. You are the ones who should rise up to be the overcomers of this age, to pursue the Lord, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to build up the churches, to build up the body of Christ, to build up the bride, to build up the kingdom. Now, are these things just talk? Are these just good messages? Or are they real? If this is going to be real, brothers and sisters, we have no other way to go but to be vital. The lack of vitality is a sign of degradation, deadness, and lukewarmness. It's a sign of deterioration, of desolation. That will not fulfill God's purpose today. Far from it. But where is the 0.0028%? Where is the 7,000? I'm here making a call. I think I'm speaking to the right audience. The age today is getting worse. The battle is becoming more fierce. Satan is becoming more desperate because he knows his end is near. Spiritual warfare has never been like this. And yet God's intention must be fulfilled. God's economy must be carried out. The reality of the body of Christ must be present among us. Where are the men? Where are the women? I thought about a brother. I came from Hong Kong back in the 60s. In a very silent and unknown way, in those days, God did something in Hong Kong. That was actually a storm brewing at that time that erupted in the late 60s. In a way of rebellion. While that was going on, there was some praying. Talk about prayer, praying. Today, you wouldn't know about it. Only some of us who came there would know. Even some who came from there would not know. There's one brother that I can think about. He's gone to be with the Lord. He's so burdened for us meaning the young generation. At that time, we were just in our late teens, some of us. But he would pray along with others. There were others praying. There were older sisters. You would not know. But these are vital people. They may look frail. They may look aged. But they are vital to the uttermost. This is even before the days of calling on the name of the Lord and pray reading the word. They were vital. They pray. And I myself, amongst others, can testify I'm a product of that prayer. A small number the Lord raised up. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like actually even now speak to the older saints among us in this room or in this talk. These days there's no greater ministry the older saints can enter into than prayer. And I mean this kind of prayer. Not general, common, say grace at the table prayer. Not get up in the morning and just utter a few words prayer. I mean specific, laboring prayer at the incense altar before the throne of God, that the Lord would raise up that 0.0028% amongst us, the overcomers, the vital brothers and sisters of this generation, and believe in the Lord that he will answer those prayers because of our desperation. And brothers, older brothers and sisters, isn't it desperate times today? Desperate times today, brothers and sisters. Where will the next generation come from? What would they be like? Daniel was such an overcomer. His companions with him, they were overcomers. There's 7,000 yet that only God can reserve for himself, that God can preserve and keep for himself. No one did that. He did that. But someone prayed. Let us pray. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Much and thoroughly. The Lord must gain overcomers today. He will gain overcomers, not in the recovery. Trust me, it's not up to you. It's not up to me. But what a shame that we are in this best, superb environment, and yet we fail. We will not live an overcomer's life. What a shame that would be. What a waste that would be. Now, I haven't even touched the matter of prayer, but I'm so burdened. I don't care for this or that. I care for the burden. I hope this word will touch some of you. The millennial generation, the working saints generation. Not just a little bit, but deeply, deeply, as only the Lord can do, to cause you not just to just say a amen and agree, but to really, really be the present Nazarite. So my call, older saints, it's time for you and I to enter into Hannah's ministry. You remember Hannah's ministry from this recent training? Hannah's prayer is not an ordinary prayer. It's not just praying generally for this or for that. It's specifically praying for God's interest, that God would raise up a man in this case, a true Nazarite, that would terminate the old priesthood, that will begin a new prophethood, that will usher in the king and the kingship, that eventually would bring the Lord to the earth for the first time. A new beginning on this line of life. That is the special prayer. And that prayer that Hannah prayed was actually a Nazarite vow, whereas Hannah herself may not be the Nazarite, but he prayed for a Nazarite in the form of a child, a man-child, and that's Samuel. And God heard that prayer. Actually, God initiated that prayer. Older saints, let us enter, and I mean this, into a daily Hannah's prayer ministry in this way. And younger saints, for you, the mother has prayed. The father has prayed. You have been given to the Lord. You have been offered as a Nazarite. Now live this way. Now offer yourself in this way. And if you have broken the Nazarite vow here and there, God's ordinance have foreknown that and have a full prescription of how to recover that vow, how to revow. God is so desperate in need of people. Not only he opened the doors, side doors, back doors, for Nazarites to become priests of God. But even when the Nazarite may fail, he has ways for this Nazarite to come back again. If he had touched death, if his vow was discredited, if he became disqualified, we need Nazarites today, brothers and sisters, in the local churches. Not just good saints. Thank the Lord for good saints. But good saints is not enough. We need vital overcomers, brothers and sisters. Okay, let's come to this lesson 7 on being vitalized by practicing unceasing and desperate prayer. You've got to underline these two adjectives, not just practicing a prayer life. That's not good enough for ordinary needs that may be, but for special needs, that's not good enough. It needs to be unceasing. The prayer needs to be desperate. Another word I use, the ministry's utterance, much and thorough prayer, unceasing and desperate prayer. By the way, most of this material in this outline are taken from the first book, chapters, a number of chapters in the first book of the vital group training called The Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. You can go there, and I encourage you to go there, to read it together with your companions, and really get into it directly from the ministry's utterance. We cover a number of points in the last quarter in these talks about the steps to be vitalized. These are not formalities. These are not methodologies. These are practical needs according to the word and according to our experiences. And we will here, actually in Roman numeral 2, review them. And I hope we're doing these things. We're fighting every day to do these things. All right, Roman 1, to be vital is to be living and very active. You know, the more living you are, the more active you become. I got two of my grandchildren, boys, living with them during this pandemic. Sometimes I wish they're not here. But other times, thank the Lord they're here, you know. Otherwise, they will be a pretty, pretty dead and quiet place. I mean, all day long, they don't stop, okay? They shout, they scream, they screech. I have to close my doors all the time. I could hardly think. And somehow their decibel level just kind of synchronized with my hearing aid. It just kills me. But they're living. They're very living and very active. Nobody is training them. Nobody is pushing them. If anything, we're trying to stop them and correct them. Brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, this is vitality. I mean, our church life is not vital in many instances. It's dead. It's quiet. It's good. It's orderly. Where is the vitality? To be vital is to be living and very active, full of activities. Now, I'm not here just promote you to go out and be active. It doesn't work. The more you are living, the more you have the Spirit, automatically you will do things. You'll be filled with activities. You're unstoppable. Like our dear brother Lee, he was just unstoppable. The more you press this ball down into the water, the higher it will jump. Full of activities. The vital groups are groups that are living and full of activities. We can have groups, but our groups can be dead, inactive, traditional, formal. What we need in the church life today is livingness, activities, but not from the natural man, not in a way of just doing something. It comes from the inside. It has a what? A inner source. And that is the Spirit. Talk about the burden for Reno, you know, that the brother just mentioned. I don't care Reno or what. Just start with your locality. We all have to pray, Lord, make us living, make us active, make us vital, vitalize my church. You know, this long pandemic, okay, this year it may come to an end. Well, let's all hope so. Then what? That's my question. Then what? We have no pandemic to blame anymore. Do we come out of the pandemic just as dead as we enter into it? That would be a shame, brothers and sisters. It's not pandemic or no pandemic. It's how vital we are. If you're vital, even in the most oppressive environment, in the most challenging environment, you're still living because this is resurrection life, life that overcomes death. Okay, two, the way to produce the vital groups is that each one of us must take the lead to be vital. We're now reviewing the past talks. Each one, I want to emphasize each one of us. A, in order to be vital, we first must have a thorough fellowship with the Lord. Recall the first thing is to have thorough and absolute fellowship with the Lord. If we don't touch the Lord, if we don't contact the Lord, if we don't spend time with the Lord, forget about it. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing there. We have to be those branches that are abiding in the vine. We have to be with the Lord, brothers and sisters. Then that fellowship will bring us into a kind of realization that we're totally sinful. Then we will be brought into a thorough confession of sins. We spend several talks to cover this matter of confession. Much and thorough and absolute confession. I don't know whether you're practicing that or not, or you stopped already. We need to live a life of confession in an ongoing way, all the time, so that there will be nothing in between. There will be no obstacle, insulation. Oh, brothers and sisters, we ask about spending time with the Lord and then spending time in his presence to let him shine in us. He will touch matters in us, sometimes in great detail, sometimes things you don't remember. Sometimes you think, no big deal, but the Spirit is there. The convicting Spirit is there doing his judging work. The seven spirits, as the seven eyes of the Lamb, is searching, observing, and watching, and checking out. And then we should what? Respond by confessing our sins. Oh, brothers and sisters, these are absolutely necessary, regular steps to becoming a vital person. Then spontaneously, we will reconsecrate ourselves. Out of that kind of confession, may I say, out of his forgiveness and cleansing through our confession and repentance, we would have almost a unique reaction, a spontaneous response. Lord, I consecrate to you again. Here it says, we will pray, Lord, now I would like to consecrate myself to you anew. Just how many times we will say this. Don't think the Lord will get tired with us saying that from our heart. He's waiting to hear that. Brother Lee once said, and I told you, every hour we should reconsecrate. Every hour we should reconsecrate. But let that consecration not just be, again, a formality, but something with spontaneity as we touch the Lord, as we are convicted and confess our sins, as we are forgiven and cleansed. We consecrate afresh. We make that vow again to him. D, then that will bring us into a prayer life. Only when we are in this kind of practice and condition will be brought into a prayer life. Now you see, what kind of prayer are we talking about? These are not dead prayers. Formulaic prayers. These are real prayers. Prayers that count. Number one, no one can pray unceasingly without reaching this stage. You can. You won't. You're not in a condition to pray unceasingly. Two, when we pass through the stages of fellowship, confession, and consecration, we enter into a prayer life. I'm very helped by this, brothers and sisters. And I practice this, if I may say so. You know, this pandemic, I don't know about you, for me, this 21, 22 months, I lost count. One thing that the Lord has been trying to get through in me or bring me forward on is simply in these things. Not that I didn't have these things before, but the Lord's burden is that this would be intensified. Intensified. Not the common doesn't do it anymore. I need this intensified in us. And so far as that goes, I am behind. I'm just one of you. I need to be more desperate in these practices. I need to deep dive. I'm too much still on the skin, you know, on the surface. Even for some of us who've been around for decades, don't assume that seniority is your qualification. No, that won't cut it. It is the fresh experiences that we need. Paul says, I don't want to be preaching, and I myself become disqualified. You know, that word means rejected, a castaway. Even Paul have to be careful. How much more we? Let us not rest on our laurels, the years, what we did. Let us practice this ourselves, all of us. Then our prayer life will come into another dimension. It will be deeper. It will be more prevailing. It will be more genuine. Three, it is in this prayer life that we pray ourselves into the Spirit. Brothers, these are common words, third grader words, or even less. Pray ourselves into the Spirit. I'm hearing too many prayers that does not pray oneself into the Spirit. They are good local church prayers. Prayers with good points. But you didn't get into the Spirit. You didn't. You know, this hymn, 781, please, this week, spend time just on this hymn. I call it this hymn a very strange hymn. It's not sentimental. It does not arouse your emotions. It's not sweet in that sense. But it's very, very instructional. And very, very pointed in showing our lack. Our lack is in the true exercise of the Spirit. Our lack is in a weakened exercise in a man. Our lack is we don't pray by the anointing, but by memory. Our lack is when we pray, we're really not Spirit-led, but just regurgitating words. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot to be said about we need to enter into a new kind of prayer. Prayer that is real, genuine, touching the Spirit. Not composed so much. Not by memory. Not by from knowledge. But real. From the Spirit, from the innermost part of our being. Oh, if this kind of prayer can we have a breakthrough? I tell you, the churches are on their way to become vitalized. If there would be some saints who would enter into this realm, you go read the book, The God-Man Living. You know, the book, The God-Man Living. It's a book on the Lord Jesus based on the book of Matthew. And eventually, the point that Brother Lee came to was this God-man is simply a praying person. That's it. But that prayer is not the same as what we think prayer is. That prayer is not common. That prayer usher the Lord as a man into the divine and mystical realm with the Father. A lot of our prayer is not in that realm. It's just dancing around on the outside. Good words, right words, but you're not in that realm yet. You're not in the spirit yet. What spirit? The essential spirit, the economical spirit, the all-inclusive spirit, and may I say, the seven intensified spirit, sevenfold intensified spirit. That spirit we need to pray into. That is where we need to be vitalized. Three, becoming vital is through prayer. Five words. Becoming vital is through prayer. No other way, brothers and sisters. Even reading a message, as wonderful as that is not the way to be vital. It'll help you. It will supply you, but it may not vitalize you. Prayer is the only way. That's why I say we need to pray the word. We need to pray, read the ministry prayerfully. Only prayer will cause us to be in contact with the living God, would cause us to be in connection with the Spirit. Only that will vitalize and energize us. A, in the Bible, the Spirit is linked with our prayer. Praying and the Spirit are one. You cannot have one without the other. Jude 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Where else to pray? There's no prayer outside of the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That means praying one with the Spirit. Because when you really pray this way, the Spirit is there with you. A mingling is taking place. Nothing will do that by prayer. You say, how about calling on the name of the Lord? Calling on the name of the Lord is prayer. That's what it is. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I tell you, I touch my spirit. No one can say Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. But you are just there mouthing it, oh Lord. You didn't touch the spirit. You're just saying something. There's no exercise. There's no strong and keen and deep exercise. I think that the need today is not just to exercise our spirit. We need an intensified exercise to get through in this matter of vitality. The common exercise, brothers, will not do it. You need a breakthrough into the realm of the spirit to touch the living spirit. The only way we can touch the Spirit is by prayer. The only way. If we are without prayer, we will be without the Spirit. So simple. It's just that logically simple. I can keep speaking here and you can really receive it and amen and be moved by it. But that may still not work. That may still not work until you pray. Until you pray. When brotherly speak, it is my practice from early on in my youth. After he speak, I go home by myself. I don't even left the meeting and just go to pray. While the message was hot, while the convicting spirit is there, while the light was fresh, I went to pray. Oh, I tell you, I mingle that word from our brother with the spirit. And I became vital. I have dealings with the Lord. I have reconsecration with the Lord. I have confession with the Lord from the word that inspired me. But it was through my prayer. Not just through the speaking, but through my prayer and desperate prayer. And sometimes unceasing prayer for several days on just one matter that the Lord touched me with. The day we stop praying is the day when we start to degrade in our personal lives. The day one, of course, we can also say that without the Spirit, there can be no prayer. That is true. This is why we are told that we have to pray in the Spirit. Prayer and the Spirit, they are inseparable. Praying is on our part. The Spirit's work, the work, the operation of God is on the Spirit's part. When these two are conjoined in our experience, that's when God works. That's when the Spirit works, operates. That's when things start to happen in our lives. All kinds of things. Pray more, brothers and sisters, but not in that kind of old, formal, common way, please. Two, since we are regenerated believers in Christ, our human spirit and the Holy Spirit are mingled together as one spirit. Well, we all know this. But we actually don't remember it, that the Lord's Spirit and my spirit are really, really, really mingled and joined right now as one spirit. So prayer to touch the Spirit is not a hard thing. Really, it's not hard. Our attitude makes a difference. Our exercise makes a difference, but it is not hard in itself. No one is closer to us than the Lord, than the Spirit. He's closer to you and I than our spouses, than our children, than our family. He's in us, mingle with us forever. See, there's no other way to be vital except by prayer. We have to pray and to get into a prayer life. That's it. That's the burden of this talk. No other way in the churches in Northern California. No other way for any one of us to be vital except to pray and to get into this kind of prayer life. One, we all need to have a time with the Lord every morning in prayer. If you do not pray in the morning for 1 week, you'll be dead spiritually. I don't think it takes 1 week. It just takes one day. But I'm concerned some of our mornings, quote, quote, morning revival, we didn't get one bit revived. Not even one bit. You just did something. You opened the Holy Word. You read something. You mumbled something. You did not get revived, possibly. I'm not saying you didn't. I'm saying it's quite possible. And you can carry on this form. But inside, you're dead. You and I are dead spiritually. We know that. There's nothing within us rising up, flowing, gushing. No. But we religiously keep doing what we should be doing as a good brother or sister. Dear ones, it's how much you touch the Lord, how much you touch that Spirit, then going through a form. Two, most of us are living in a situation in which it is difficult to find a solid time of half an hour to pray. It is difficult to find half an hour to pray. But how about, brothers, 5 minutes in the morning? How about 5 minutes at noon? How about 5 minutes in the evening? How about 5 minutes in your car or in transit? Now, don't tell me we don't have 5 minutes. We actually have half an hour broken down into many 5 minutes that are wasted left and right. Left and right. Just sitting there, staring in space, looking at the billboards flying by, people gazing. There's 5 minutes right there. Our device, once we pick it up, it's more than 5 minutes each time. Yes, it's hard to set apart half an hour at once. But cumulatively, there is that half an hour. If we would save it and redeem it, redeem the time, is the charge. We all have the time, but we waste it just like everyone else. Redeem it if we mean business. Whenever we set aside a definite time to pray, the enemy will always try to disturb us. That's for sure. Because the enemy knows once we enter into the spirit by prayer, that's it. He's defeated. And we're with the Lord. And he hates that. So he would do everything to stop our prayer, to busy us, to occupy us, to usurp us, brothers and sisters. Number three, we need to look to the Lord so that we can free ourselves from all distractions to have solid times of prayer with him. I think all of us can testify, because we all have some experiences, we all do, that time spent with the Lord, that we really touch the Lord, you will never have a thought that this time is wasted. Rather, you have certainty this is eternally memorable in the New Jerusalem. It's a deposit in the New Jerusalem. Every time we touch the Lord. But how many times that we spend, we know it will get into that universal trash can. That's where it belongs. But when we see this, dear saints, let's free ourselves from the distractions. Just put in the time. Spend the time. It's rewarding. It's overcoming. It's life-saving. It's vitalizing. Oh, my. Building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I tell you, this kind of prayer is edifying, building. Four, prayer makes us vital. We have to take the lead to be vital. Take the lead. I hope there would be a number, if not all of us, that will take the lead again. You just take the lead. You don't need approval from elders. You just need to take the lead. If we are not vital, we cannot pray for others to be vital. Of course, that is a principle. You don't need actually to tell people to be vital. Well, you say you are doing it. Okay, so maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But I'll tell you, if I'm not vital, I have no business to tell anyone to be vital. That's just a teaching. That's hypocritical, isn't it? D, to be vital means to be released in the spirit, and this cannot be performed. If we pray for half an hour, we will be released for sure. I mean, brothers, if you pray for half an hour, you'll be released. It just happens. Release from your anxiety. Release from what is oppressing you. Release from all manners of things. And dear brothers and sisters, we need release. Oh, we're in bondage by many things. Things that 5 years ago may not be a bondage, today it has become a bondage. Things 5 years ago did not distract us, now today it distracts us. We need to be released. You know, this word release, I like it because it says in Revelation, the blood release us from our sins. Not only cleanse us, it actually releases us. We all need a grand release from this world, from all the things of this world. We need to be released from ourselves, from our soulish way of living. And there's no way to be released but this kind of prayer. 4, an overcomer is a vital person. And a vital person, an overcomer, is a praying person. We must have the real burden for the real prayer. Again, I say an overcomer is not an exceptional elite Superman. No. It's a normal believer, according to God, so vital, and a praying person. Our ability to pray, the intensity of our prayer, the length of our prayer, all are signs, telltale signs of how vital we really are. 4, an overcomer is a vital person. I read that already. A, Brother Nee said that we should not pray anything that is not real prayer. Many prayers that we pray actually are not prayers. They are repetitions of statements according to our tradition. Some of us, we heard a message, we were impressed, and we pray to repeat that message. That's not bad. That surely is not sinful. But that could just be a kind of repetition. We need, every time when we pray, to forget everything, our memory, our knowledge, just focus on Christ Jesus, on the Spirit, on the anointing. B, the real burden of prayer is not a composition. Some of us can compose good prayers, but real prayers are not the kind of composition. It is by the living, present anointing of the Lord within us. Very real, very, very real. Number one, when the blind man prayed to the Lord, he did not pray a composed prayer. When the Lord Jesus asked him what he wanted, the blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. That's all. You know, then you say, how do you spend half an hour just saying that? You know what? If you have the experience, it can happen. That whole half hour, Lord, I want to see. Yesterday, as I was praying for this time, for a long time, I was praying. And the other day, I was with the Lord an hour and a half, praying the same one thing, but not in a repetitious, composed way. It is because the Spirit's groaning, you see, the Spirit's anointing would not let me go. It is the Spirit's prayer It's not my mental repetition. Lord, I want to see. Half an hour later, you are saying still, Lord, I need to see. But it's not old. It's fresh. It's living. Two, this is the real prayer. Out of a real burden. Oh, a real burden. He was burdened to contact Jesus, this blind person, so that he could see and the Lord answer his prayer. Burden and prayer. I think there's such a message, right? Or a book. Burden and prayer. Actually, no burden, no prayer, no real prayer. Learn to pray with a burden, just like learn to speak with a burden. This morning, it's not how much I memorize of this outline. That means nothing. That means a little bit. But in the main, this morning, it depends the burden that is in me that is important. The same thing when we utter something to the Lord, when we cry out to the Lord, it has to come from a real burden. There's something pressing within you. There's something urging you. There's something that will not let you go. Pray that way. Pray accordingly. I need sight. That's a burden. It's a desperate need. Simple words, but touching the burden. Well, I think this matter burden is an area that we all need to enter into in these days as we are advancing in the matter of building up a prayer life. Learn to pray with a burden. Do not pray fluff. Do not pray empty words. Do not pray something that the heart is absent. Do not pray something just because it sounds good. Pray real prayers, genuinely from your heart. We don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit groans. You know, that groaning of the Spirit is the burden. That is what the one who is the right hand of God interceding right now, and the Spirit is groaning that within me, and so I am praying a prayer that is according to the throne. This is real, my brothers and sisters, but we need to practice this. Okay, I think